Last year, about this time, we celebrated as a church the 100th anniversary of Our Lady's apparition at Fatima. And our archdiocese and our parish was consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Now, Sister Lucia, one of the visionaries, was told by Our Lady herself that the final battle between Satan and the church would be lodged against marriage and the family. That the evil one wants to see the ruin of God's plan for humanity, and that's where he will strike. Now, last Thursday as a church, we celebrated the feast of St. Francis of Assisi. And Jesus spoke from the crucifix to St. Francis, telling him, "Rebuild my church." You see, Francis lived in a time of corruption in society and in the church. And so the Lord said to him, "Rebuild my church." And Francis thought that he was speaking of this little chapel of San Damiano that was in ruins. But after he had rebuilt it, he began to realize the Lord was asking him to do something far greater than rebuild just one little church. That he was asking him to start a movement of holiness, a return to the gospel virtues, and in doing so, reform the church. But let's be clear, brothers and sisters, all real reform in the life of the church comes from a new fidelity and conversion to the gospel and to apostolic tradition. All renewal in the church comes through holiness and through the saints. Now we hear in the book of Genesis, God say to Adam, "It is not good for man to be alone." Why is this? Well, because we're created in the image and likeness of God, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And in being created in the image of the Trinity, we are made for communion with God and for one another. We're made for love. And so, in some way, to be alone, to be isolated, is already a participation in hell. Because hell is a state of eternal isolation from God. And heaven is a place of true communion and joy with the Lord, and with him, with his saints. So God tells Adam, it is not good for man to be alone, and so he puts Adam into a deep sleep, and from the side of Adam is fashioned his bride, Eve. And Adam says, "This at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." Now Jesus is the new Adam, and he too is put into a sleep. And he too has his side opened up, and his bride born from his side. This time, instead of the form of a rib, in the form of water and blood that flows from his opened and pierced side. That blood and water is the birth of the sacraments and of the church. Water signifying the great sacrament of holy baptism and the blood of the most holy Eucharist. And we know that those are two sacraments that really found and constitute the life of the church, the body of Christ. See, every time you and I come up to Holy Communion, we enter into a spiritual marriage with God. Right? Because we hear in the book of Genesis that the definition of marriage is that the man and the woman who were two will become one flesh. The two become one flesh. That is, marriage is procreative and unitive at its heart. But where do you and I enter into a spiritual marriage with Christ, where our flesh becomes one with his flesh, if not when we approach the sacrament of the altar and receive his very body, blood, soul, and divinity into ourself, as we receive his flesh entering into our flesh and his soul entering into the depths of our soul. In that moment, we enter into this, the two become one. And hence the body of Christ is born. So, Marriage is a great sign and participation in Christ's marriage to the church. Now, we know, of course, that Christ will never divorce his mystical body, the church. That God is faithful. That God is faithful even when we are unfaithful. And when we repent and return to him, he always receives us with mercy. Now, Jesus is asked by the Pharisees, then, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Now, I give you a disclaimer now. Everything I say from here on will be unpopular. So I know my ratings are going to go down. And I am sorry. But I have to please God, right? I'm a minister of God's word. And my job is to get souls to heaven. So, Jesus tells us, it is not lawful. Now, before I get into this, I want to make a disclaimer. The Catechism makes it very clear that there are times within a marriage, a civil marriage, sacramental marriage, that a civil divorce may be necessary. Right? There could be a foreseeable situation where spouses need to be separated for their very safety or the safety of their children, and in which case the church would allow for a civil divorce. Right? But that would not be a sacramental divorce. In the eyes of the state, a couple could be separated. They could be civilly divorced. But they would continue to be man and wife in the eyes of God. And that's what we know really counts, is what God sees. So there is a situation, and it's probably more common than not, that something like that may need to take place. But in order for a couple to truly enter into a real marriage for the first time, in that case, they would have to seek an annulment. Now, some people say, oh, an annulment is just a Catholic divorce. Wrong. An annulment is the farthest thing from divorce. An annulment is the church looking at the facts surrounding a situation, a case, two people who came to the altar and appeared to get married, and determine that couple did not enter freely into that marriage, right? Love has to be free in order for it to be love. If it's not freely given, it's not love. So if there's a lack of freedom, there's a lack of true consent, then the church judges that there never was a marriage. Now, those who have had an annulment know that doesn't mean all of a sudden that your children are illegitimate. That's not the case at all. Right, because it was presumed at the time of the marriage that it was a real marriage. And in good faith, you had children and brought them into the life of the world and into the life of Christ's kingdom through the church. So that is, an annulment is different than a divorce. But what Jesus is saying is that when a man or a woman divorces their spouse, if they remarry, it is adultery. Right? Hashtag things Jesus actually said, you know, compared to the things that he never said. But we have to grapple with that, right? God is interested in our conversion, and he's interested in us entering into a covenant relationship, which means keeping his commandments, right? Nobody said the Christian path is a path of comfortability or that it's easy. For each one of us, Jesus says, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Each one of us are called to turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel. There's not a single person in here who's not a sinner. And God is our Father, yes. But we cannot change the law of God in favor of human traditions. Right? Most homilies that I've ever heard around this gospel, the priests go around it. They never actually want to address what Jesus actually says about remarriage and adultery. But we have to be real, right? In every schism of the church, at least the major ones, the reformers, they all quickly changed their teaching on divorce. We shouldn't be surprised, because to separate yourself from the bride of Christ is already to undermine what marriage stands for, marriage being a sign for Christ's marriage to his church. So when you separate yourself from the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, which is the one true church founded by Jesus Christ, which does possess the fullness of all truth, When you separate yourself from that, then you begin to undermine the teachings. And so the Orthodox had their great schism in about 1000, thereabouts, AD, and they allow for the practice of divorce. Martin Luther, he schismed from the church, the bride of Christ, and he allowed his followers to practice divorce. The Anglicans, Henry VIII, he schisms from the one true church, and he, of course, does it because he wants to get remarried, and then, of course, he kills that wife and then gets married again and kills that wife and then gets, you know, so he kind of has another problem there, too. But murder's for another homily. So, when we cut ourselves off from the bride of Christ, it's no surprise. But to look and see the church founded by Christ that goes back to the apostles, the Roman Catholic Church, continues to teach what Jesus taught in the Holy Gospel. It's not popular, it's not easy, but it is a call because marriage is a sacrament. And what God has put together, Jesus says, no man can take and put asunder. So what does that mean for us today? Because there are probably many people in this church who have had divorces, some who have had annulments, right? I don't stand here to shame you. It doesn't make me feel good to make people feel bad. But I do have to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you find yourself in this state, please, 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 go to confession and speak with a priest, right? Because I can't speak universals about how to help you through your particular situation. Only a priest in the sacrament can help you and guide you along the way of being reconciled with Christ and the church. I can tell you here that divorce and remarriage without an annulment is always and everywhere against the will of God, period. Always and everywhere against the will of God. And to sin against God's will is a serious sin. So, go to confession. Brothers and sisters, if you are divorced and you are not having been reconciled through the sacrament, if you're living in an adulterous relation because the husband or wife you have now has not been sacramentally blessed, you can't present yourself for Holy Communion. Right? I know that's hard, but you can't. Because you're not in the full communion with Christ and with his teaching and with his church. And so go to the sacrament of reconciliation and be reconciled with God. That may mean that for some you have to live chastely as brother and sister and give up intimacy with one another in the process. Now people tell me all the time when I have to meet with them, oh, Father, be realistic. And I look at them and I say, really? You're going to tell me you can't give up sex? I've been celibate my whole life, and I will be celibate, and I'm proud of it, because that's the promise I made before God. And celibacy is possible, especially in periods where you have to live it temporarily. But brothers and sisters, we have to obey God, and all of us have to conform ourselves to his plan and his commandments. Jesus says in the Holy Gospel, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Do you hear the desire of his sacred heart there? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's a desire of his heart that we show him that we love him by keeping his commandments. And when we fall short, we repent, we confess our sins in the sacrament, and we continue to our Father who always reaches out in mercy to bring his children to himself. But if we say that what God says is sin is not sin, then we commit the greatest sin. We make ourselves into God. And we ultimately blaspheme this great reality of Christ dying to take away the sins of the world. One last word, going back to Our Lady. If you haven't already consecrated your marriage and your families to the Blessed Mother, I encourage you this week to, as a family, consecrate your marriages and your families to Our Lady of Loreto. Why Our Lady of Loreto? Well, for one, that's our great patroness here at Our Lady of Loreto, right? But for those who don't know the story of Our Lady of Loreto, Loreto is a city, a little town outside of Rome in Italy. And there, the holy house of Nazareth that Jesus, Mary, and Joseph lived in was taken in the Middle Ages from Nazareth to this town called Loreto. So imagine, when you go to Loreto, you actually go to the very site, this church that has the house that the Holy Family, that Jesus grew up in with Mary and St. Joseph. How awesome is that? And to think that there Mary watched over Jesus and Joseph as a mother in a home with a family. So put yourself under her protection. Because yes, as Mary said at Fatima, the evil one wants to see the ruin of souls, and particularly of marriage and the family. But like our statues of Mary often depict, hearkening back to Genesis 3:15, the proto-evangelium, Mary is there like a good mom, ready to stomp on the head of the serpent and to crush him. Because wherever Mary is, the evil one's work is beginning to be undone. Praise be Jesus Christ.